If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to the Gospel of Matthew, the book of Matthew. Come on, the first book of the New Testament. And Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, I'm going to get there in just a second. But last week, we talked about breaking free from guilt. And that we confess our sins to God for forgiveness, but sometimes we need to confess to one another so that we may be healed. And unfortunately, there's a large part of believers that are in a spiritual recession because they don't understand the practice of confession. And so we're going to deal with another issue of the heart today. And I've entitled this message, Breaking Free from Anger. Breaking free from anger. And once again, it's so important. We're in a series called Take Ground. But in order to take ground, you've got to break ground. And we're talking about breaking up some of the fallow ground in our hearts. Some of the things that sabotage our walk from God. And just like last weekend, we talked about breaking free from guilt. And many of you started getting set free in that process. I believe that this weekend is going to be another miracle weekend. And many of us are going to be set free from the anger that's controlled our lives. So let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. God, I pray that you'd speak through me today. Lord, I thank you that you love your people. Lord, you've called us to be free, God. And I thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts today, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. You know, there's a lot of angry people walking around today. How many of you would agree with that? I think, you know, if you turn on the news or any of the talk shows, it's amazing just how many shows are actually just based on people being angry. And the reason that there's a lot of angry people is because there's a lot of hurt people. And people have been wronged. People have been mistreated. People have been abused. And those people that have been mistreated, for the most part, many times, they're angry people. And of course, you know, the anger's there because the issues that have happened to them are obviously emotionally charged issues. And so what I kind of want to do today is just kind of break down anger, what it is, where it comes from, but more importantly, how we can get free from that and not allow that anger or disappointment that we have when people hurt us to cause us to accept less than God's best for our life. Let me just kind of unpack some definition around anger. Anger is the result of not getting something that we want, or more importantly, something that we think we deserve. So where does anger start to initiate? It just starts to initiate simply when we don't get something that we want. It can be that simple. Now, you know, we know that we live in America, and you know, so we're you know, we want it all. We want it now. We want it. No, all. Don't mess with my song, front row. Y'all supposed to help me when I'm singing. I want it all. I want it all. Come on, where you been? I want it all. Don't you watch TV? I want it now. That's one of the theme songs of America. We want it all. We want it now. I mean, we are a Burger King generation. Have it your way. And by the way, or who's this? This is McDonald's. Hey, you deserve a break today. You deserved it. In other words, a break is owed to you. You have it your way. You have it now. And so especially in America, I would say, since anger is initiated when we don't get something that we want, or more importantly, something that we think we deserve. That's how anger is initiated. You deserve a break today. Well, I didn't get my break, so I'm mad. So anger is initiated when we don't get something we want, or more importantly, that we think we deserve. And here's the definition. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. This is on the screen. Anger is the emotion that we experience when we feel that somebody owes us something. Somebody owes us something. So a real simple example of this is, let's say, you know, you've been working at a job, you've been working real hard and you're doing your best and you're faithful and you're doing a good job, and your boss promises you, hey, that, you know, you're going to get a raise or you're going to get a promotion, and you work hard, and then the raises are dished out and then the promotions are dished out and you don't get a raise and you don't get a promotion. All of a sudden, anger rises up. Why? Because you feel like your employer, wait, he owes me this. Man, I've been working so hard, and he told me that if I did this and I did that, that I was going to get a raise. And he told me when the promotions were going to come up that I was the first in line to be promotion. All of a sudden, because we don't get what we deserve or what we think we deserve, we feel like, man, he owes us, and now anger rises up. Anger is a part of life. We're all going to experience anger. But you need to know how God wants you to respond to anger so that it doesn't cripple your life. Now, let's take something a lot more serious, okay? So let's say that you know, you went through a painful divorce. Let's say you're a woman and your husband cheated on you. And so he's violated you. He's taken some of the best years of your life, and he promised to be faithful to you, and he's taken that from you. And he's hurt you, and so obviously, because he's mistreated you, he's hurt you, he's betrayed you, he's stolen something from you, and so you feel like he owes you. And he does. He owes you. You know, that's why there's so many men walking around with anger, is because they grew up in a home where there was no father, or the father abandoned them, or the father abused the mother or the kids or whatever. And so you have all these young men, and they grow up, and because that father was an absentee father, wasn't there for them, they grow up and they feel like something is owed to them, because me growing up as a son and having a father, that was taken from me. Growing up in a home like that where I could have a father that would love me and help me and show me the way, that was taken from me. That was stolen from me. That's owed to me. And so there's anger. It can be something, you can think maybe a friend's betrayed you. Maybe someone is gossiping about you. Someone is criticizing you. Someone has lied about you. What have they done? They've stolen from your reputation. They've stolen from your character. They've stolen from your integrity, so to speak. So you feel like they owe you. And here is the troubling thing in our society. And here's why anger is such a big deal, okay? Because all of us, when we go through life, we don't have one thing happen to us. Like, we're not just mistreated one time. What? We're mistreated multiple times by multiple people. I mean, some of you have horrible stories of how you were abused. You have horrible stories of things that people have done to you that have happened in your past. And not just once, but multiple times. And so we go through this world that we live in where people are constantly mistreating us, where people are constantly doing us wrong. And what anger begins to initiate, because we feel like, man, that person owes me, and that person did me wrong, and that person did me wrong. And if we're not careful, all of a sudden, we're going to start living an angry life. We're going to start looking at ourselves as a victim. And all of a sudden, that anger is going to begin to spill over to innocent people, even people that we love, even people that we don't want them to experience our anger. It just spills over. Why? Because we're angry, because we've been hurt, because we've been done wrong, because somebody owes us. You're a woman, and you know, you marry this guy and he betrays you and he does you wrong. You marry another guy, he betrays you, he does you wrong. Marry another guy, he betrays you, he does you wrong. You're just like, that man, that's it, I hate all men. All men are just horrible. I'm joining the anti-men's movement. I'm just watching Lifetime every night. Because I'm telling you, that Lifetime Network, that's the truth. You know, all those shows, The Husband You Never Knew. Some woman that was married to a guy and he had like five wives at the same time in five different time zones. And like, that's all men. Can I just say this? If you married to a guy that has five wives, I think you ought to sniff that out pretty quick. You know what I'm saying? Especially with today's technology. Just track him. Just put one of those GPS devices on him. You know where he is all the time. Just walk by, just give him one of those slap on the butts. Put that little tracking device. Then you can literally tell your friends, look, I'm tracking his behind. I know where he's at. It's in his behind. No, seriously, we're talking to this woman one time. She was having some marital issues. She goes, we're talking about something. She goes, oh, I'm not worried about that. I know where he is every second of the day. Well, how you know that? She goes, I track him. I said, what? She goes, oh, yeah, I track him. I mean, like you can track a dog. You can track your husband. She's like, yeah, I track him. She said, I programmed his phone. I put the GPS device in there. He doesn't even know it. Anytime I can just pull him up on my phone. Boop, boop, boop. I was like, you go head on. You track him. I like that. Come on, guys. Maybe all of us should be tracked. Ooh, I didn't get, you need to be here Monday night. But unfortunately in life, you know, this happens on multiple levels, this hurt and us being done wrong. And like I said, if we're not careful, we can begin to just kind of be victims. And here's the thing, angry people are hurt people, and hurting people hurt people. And that's why it's so important that you learn how to respond and get free from anger. And let me ask you this. I want you to think about, you know, the wrongs that have been done to you and some of the things like that. Just think about this. Can that person who's really done you wrong, can you really be paid back for that? Like, you know, I come from a divorced home. My father left our home. I was 12 years old. I felt like something was taken from me. I mean, all my teenage years and growing up without a dad in the home. And my father's a great guy and we have a great relationship now. But I felt like something was owed to me. Let me ask you this. Can my dad ever really pay me back for that? No. No. And can I tell you this? The people that have wronged you and the people that have hurt you and the people that you feel like owe you something. Listen, yes, they can say they're sorry. Yes, but they can't really pay you back. And this is what Peter was basically kind of this whole concept of how do people pay you back and how do we do this whole thing with debts owed and forgiveness and all this kind of stuff. This is what Peter is bringing up to Jesus here in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. I want you to follow me there. It says, and Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? I love this. Peter offers like Peter always does. Peter offers the answer. Peter said, hey, Jesus, my brother doing me wrong. You know, I've been hurt. And these people that are that owe me and hurt me and mistreat me and all this kind of stuff, how many times should I forgive them? And Peter says, up to seven times? Because I'm telling you, here's why he said that. I guarantee you, there was somebody Peter didn't like that just wronged him the eighth time. And Peter been growing. Peter knew Jesus. Jesus wasn't just going to say two times or three times or four times. So Peter kind of stretched it. Seven times, he's thinking, that sucker wronged me for the eighth time. I'm going to beat him up. So he's looking for Jesus to, you know, justify his anger. Peter says, how much time should you give him? Seven times? You think seven times? I think seven's a good number, Jesus. You think seven? Jesus makes a very powerful statement. He says, no, Peter. Not seven times, but 70 times seven. Both of those biblical numbers of completion. In other words, an infinite amount of time, Peter. It's not this thing when someone has wronged you, when you feel like they owe you. It's not this thing that you're going to count up these number of times and then there's going to be some type of payback or retribution or revenge or whatever. He says, no, Peter, forgiveness, you either forgive or you don't forgive. You either forgive, in other words, you're going to completely forgive that person. It doesn't matter how many times, you're either going to forgive them or you're not going to forgive them. Because forgiveness doesn't have a limit. Forgiveness doesn't have a qualification. Forgiveness doesn't have a yeah, but. Forgiveness doesn't have a yeah, but you don't know what he did. Forgiveness doesn't have a yeah, but what he did to my family. Forgiveness doesn't have any qualifications, Peter. Forgiveness is forgiveness. And then Jesus brings us parable to him. He says, you know, therefore the kingdom of heaven, verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. This is like 10,000 big bags of gold. Tons of money. Basically an unpayable debt. 10,000 talents, but he was not able to pay His master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. Now, this was a very common, typical law in tribal communities here, that if you were in debt and you couldn't pay the debt, the law said that, look, you had to sell your wife and kids into servanthood, everything you would have to sell so that that debt could be paid, or as much of it could be paid as possible. Verse 26, it says, therefore the servant fell down before him saying, master, have patience with me and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. Now let me bring something out. Obviously we know this story. The king represents who? Jesus, God. The servant represents who? Us. There's a debt that we really can't pay. And thank God that we have a merciful God, Jesus. Now here's the thing. See, the law, we had a sin debt that we could not pay. We could not save ourselves. We could not forgive ourselves. But we could also not just go free. See, that debt had to be paid. That was the law. That's why, thank God, Jesus Christ came. God put our debts on him. He died. He paid the price for our debts. The judgment, the payment of our debts were executed on God's only son so that we could go free. Come on, Jesus paid and cancel our debts. But this is very interesting. Now remember, Peter's not talking about money. Peter's talking about forgiveness. He's talking about wrongs. But then Jesus compares wrongs to debts. He's likening this to a debt. Remember, anger arises when we feel like somebody owes us something. Or in other words, there's a debt that somebody needs to pay to us because they've taken from us. And here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, look, he released him, he forgave him, and now he defines forgiveness. And here's where I think many people in the body of Christ don't understand forgiveness. We think forgiveness is just letting them go, not thinking about it, not taking revenge. Oh, it's so much more than that. Jesus said he released him and he forgave him by canceling his debt. This is the definition that I want you to have for forgiveness. And this is what Jesus is defining it as. Forgiveness is the decision to cancel a debt. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the wrongs that have been done, the things that you feel like people owe you relationally, emotionally, how you've been hurt. Forgiveness is the decision to cancel a debt. In other words, when someone has wronged you, and this is what Jesus, there's no qualification, it doesn't matter what they've done. When someone has wronged you, what God is saying is you have to make the decision to cancel that debt, to cancel what they owe you. That is what forgiveness is. And Jesus is saying, I don't want you to cancel that debt because they deserve it. They don't. They've hurt you. They don't deserve it. Jesus is saying, I want you to cancel that debt, not because they deserve it, but because I have canceled all of your debts. I want you to demonstrate Christ's likeness to that person, the love of God, just like I demonstrated the love of God to you. I know they don't deserve to be released, but I released you when you didn't deserve to be released. We don't do it for them. We do it for God. And so now Jesus goes on and now he begins to paint a picture of the consequence if we don't forgive, if we don't cancel the debts of those who owe us. And he goes on in verse 28, he says, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. This is like pocket change, man. This is nothing. He found a guy that owed him 100 denarii. Look what it says. Look at the anger. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. You see, anger arises when we feel like somebody owes us something, but this guy owed him something. Anger arises. Many of you, spiritually speaking, you're still walking around taking people by the throat that have done you wrong. You're spending so much energy on them. You're wasting so much of your life in your emotions. You're walking around. You got this person by the throat. You got that person by the throat. You got this guy by the hair. You got this. And can I tell you this? Most of those people, they're not spending 1 second of their day thinking about you. They can't pay you back for how they've hurt you. Most of them won't even tell you that they're sorry. Why are you wasting your life trying to get something back that's owed to you when it's never going to come? Here's what Jesus goes on to say. He says, you know, so here's us, the guy taking the fellow servant by the throat. That's the person who's offended you, the person who's hurt you. And so his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. I just want to say this right now. I bet you this person, there's no sincerity in this whatsoever. How many of you know somebody will say, I'll pay you back when you're choking them? So it's not like this person was really sincere or anything like that. God's just making a point here. It says, verse 31, so when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved. They came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he'd called him, said to him, you wicked servant. I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In other words, you don't forgive because he deserves it. You forgive him because I forgave you. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Let me just kind of wrap this up and summarize what Jesus is saying here. If you go through your life waiting for those people to pay you back what they think you owe you, what you think they owe you, you will be the one who's tortured. If you spend your life waiting on the people that have done you wrong, waiting on them to pay you back, you are the one who's going to pay. You are the one that's going to be hurt. You are going to be the one that's in a prison. And there's so many people walking around and they are in an emotional prison because they're still waiting on people to pay them back for debts that they really can't pay. I'm asking you today, will you make the decision to cancel the wrongs, cancel the debts that people owe you, not for them, but for you, so you can be free and you won't spend your life in a prison of anger. Come on, will you give God a hand for that? Will you do that? Listen. You see, the benefits of forgiveness are for you, not just for the offender. This whole thing that Jesus is talking to Peter about, he's like, Peter, you're thinking of the person and what's just... He said, this whole thing's about you. It's about you being free. It's about you not being in a prison. Forgiveness is making the decision to cancel a debt. When you make that decision, that's how you're free. Look at Ephesians. I'm going to close with this. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 31 and 32, look, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor is when you draw attention to yourself out of your hurt. And listen, it's all, you need to tell your story, how you've been hurt, you need to confess, you need to share that at someone, but let your story of pain be turned into a platform for the grace and glory and love of God. Don't make it where you're a victim. Show people that God is the victor, that no matter what people have done to you, it's not going to affect your future. It's not going to affect who you are in Christ. Come on, the blood of Jesus is greater than that. I'm telling you that the power of the Holy Spirit can heal that hurt. I'm telling you that God can set you free. But just like with guilt, we have to make the decision to put into practice the act of confession. The same thing with anger. We have to make the decision, the conscious decision, to cancel the debts of people that owe you. That means that person who's done you wrong, when you're lying down in your bed at night and you find yourself starting to turn that situation over and over again and you say things to yourself, I can't believe they do that. What were they thinking? That's so wrong. And that's so, you just, how wrong it is. And how all, it's just so wrong that they did that. Right then, you've got to make a decision. You know what? They've wronged me. They owe me. But because of what Jesus has done for me, I make the decision to cancel the debt they owe me, and I release them. That's freedom. That's freedom for you. Look what it says. Okay, so let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Do you see how the Bible relates anger and forgiveness? Okay, how are you going to just get rid of anger? I mean, don't you understand what's happened to me? How do you just get rid of all of that? The Bible says the solution is forgiveness. You don't forgive them because they deserve it. You forgive just as God in Christ forgave you. We forgive people because of Jesus. We forgive people because God forgave us. That's how we get free from the bitterness, wrath, and all the anger. And then Matthew chapter 6:12, that comes from the Our Father. We know that's why Jesus, look, this is not a one-time thing. This is something, listen, some of you are going to be done wrong as soon as you walk. Some of you will get done wrong in the parking lot. We've had a couple of fist fights in the parking lot lately, by the way. Some of y'all just need to chill out. That's why Jesus taught us to pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And what? Forgive us our trespasses, or forgive us our debts as we forgive those who owe us. So if you read in different translations, that word sin, trespass, and debt, it's all used one and the same. Jesus is saying what? Lord, forgive us. Here's how you get this mentality. God, forgive me. Thank you for forgiving me the debts I owe you. And now I'm going to make the decision to cancel the debt from all those who owe me. That's forgiveness. That's forgiveness. That's freedom. And that's how God has called you to live.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.